Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And it is a great word today. Woo! We're going to talk about ratchet women. We're going to talk about favor. God gives his children favor. Even in adversity, God will give you grace and favor. That is the title for this morning's word. Even in adversity, God will give you grace and favor. And the word that God gave me this morning was envy and jealousy within families due to parental favoritism can cut deeper than a knife. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers because he was his father's favorite child, born of love and not obligation to procreate. In our scripture reading today, we will see God's grace and favor toward Joseph in his time of adversity, in his captivity as a slave in Egypt. Favor. God gives favor. And he gives favor and grace when you least expect it. He gives favor and grace to his children. But we all know, you know, my pastor says this all the time, the enemy will always come before or after a move of God. Unfortunately, Joseph's enemies were his brothers. How do you sell your sibling into slavery? How could you, in your heart, do something so treacherous and then tell your grieving father that his son is dead to hide your stuff, to hide your mess, to hide the stuff that you did that was wrong? So you're going to dip his clothes, that beautiful colored cloak that was made for your brother, and out of your jealousy, what did you do? Tore it up and dipped it in blood to make it look like a wild animal had taken him and killed him. Why? Jealousy, envy, hatred. And so I just say this to parents, be careful how you treat your children. You know, don't have those attitudes of, you just like your low-down daddy. Oh, I just love you. You know, your dad was so good. Your dad was, I just loved your dad so much. And then that's one baby daddy is good and kind and sweet and loving. And the other baby daddy is a low-down dirty dog, so you treat that son like that. Or men who love one child and don't have nothing to do with the other kids that he's created because he don't like their mama anymore. Or she was a one-night stand. So Joseph was the recipient of a deep love between Rebecca and Israel. Brothers were procreations and daddy having some fun. I'm just going to call it, you know, let's call it, I'm going to call him Jacob right now. Jacob didn't have no problem going into Leah, did he, and making all them baby boys, Bella. He didn't have any problems going into the maid servants. Didn't have any problems having a good time with his extra wives. Didn't have a problem with that. Now, when we go back over this word, we're going to go back to chapter 35. with this lineage. And it says, now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah were Reuben, Jacob's firstborn. Now Reuben sinned against his father, sleeping with his father's wife and his brother's mother. Simeon and Levi, who decided to go and kill all the men of Shechem because of the king's son ravishing their sister Dinah. Judah. These are Leah's kiddos. Judah decided to be the one to say, let's sell our brother. Then when his evil sons didn't want to do right by God and died, he blamed the daughter-in-law and didn't want to give her the third son. And so she had to trick him, and he wound up being the father of a nation through Tamar, his daughter-in-law. But he was not honorable. But God still used him, still used Levi. And then as we continue, Issachar and Zebulun, sons of Leah. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin, sold into slavery to the Egyptians. The sons of Bela, Rachel's maidservant, Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's maidservant, Gad and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Padam Aram. These 12 sons is what we hear about. But understand, Jacob had other children besides these 12 sons. But you really don't talk about them. But there were other children, because it says he had sons and daughters, and he had more sons and daughters. So we have to understand that the Word of God, if you read it, you find out all kind of little tidbits. But the 12 were chosen for the 12 tribes, that God chose these 12 sons to be the lineage of the chosen people of God. He had other children, yes, but these 12 were the ones that God chose. So let's keep it moving and pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this day that you have made, Lord. We ask you, Father God, to increase as I ask you, Father God, to increase as I decrease. Father, let these words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Father God, be acceptable in your holy sight. For you are my strength and my redeemer. And Lord God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for my life. Thank you for my family. Thank you for this show. Thank you for all those that listen. And I ask you, Lord, to bless each and every one with overflow. In Jesus' name, Lord, I lift up and ask you to specially watch over and bless my pastor. Assistant co-pastor Paul, ask you, Lord God, to bless the senior pastor as she is there with her husband, her mate, the one you chose for, the one who found his good thing in her. Lord, I ask you to watch over them and to bless them and to heal Pastor Paul's body, Lord God. For you are in charge of everything, Lord God. Give the doctors healing hands and knowledge that they need to help him get better. For Lord God, you know he is an awesome and mighty man of God. So I ask all my listeners, please pray for my pastors, for God's healing power over Pastor Paul, and for God to give Pastor Jesse strength. I believe and I know that righteous prayer avails much. It saves lives. It saves families. God answers prayers of his children. So please keep my church family lifted up as you keep my biological and extended family lifted up. For we are all one village. All of us, every one of us, are one village with God as our leader. Jesus Christ as our Savior.
and the Holy Spirit as our God. And they are all one, leading us, guiding us, and moving us forward. And in the name of the matchless Savior Christ Jesus, I lift you up. I ask God to bless you. And I ask God, and I say to God, thank you for another day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanking God for another day. Hallelujah. Because, again, somebody did not wake up this morning. Somebody didn't move forward today. Somebody is resting in sleep, waiting for the coming of the Savior. We have to always, every day, you get a new day. Say, thank you, Lord, and be grateful. We got to get out of the complaining spirits and get into the grateful spirits. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for everything in my life. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, for your love, for your kindness, for your goodness, for the joy that comes from only you. For it's in you that we live, move, and have our being. And we can do nothing more than say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for a new day. And let's get into our word this morning because I got to go to work. And the word of God says this. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites, who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in the land. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. In other words, girls, Joseph was fine. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. Now, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That right there should have sent, put her in her place. When somebody tells you, I'm not sinning against God, she should have known right then that this was a holy man, that this was a good man, that this was a man that wasn't playing with his father, that wasn't playing with God. But she, being the ratchet woman that she was, did not stop to think, I'm messing with God's anointed. I'm messing with somebody that has an anointing on his life and has found favor with God, which caused favor for my husband. Not thinking like that. Thinking loose. Proverbs done told you, Don't go there to the wicked woman. Ratchet, just ratchet. I'm just calling her what she was. She was ratchet. And let's keep moving. And let's call it like it is. He told her no. So it was that she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. You know, he probably started trying to avoid being in the house because this doggone woman was chasing him. You know, come on now. And he was like, nope, I'm not doing that. That ain't right. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was inside because she had sent him all away, that she caught him by his garment saying, lie with me. So she was about to rape this young man. Because remember, he was only 17 when he got sold into slavery. So he cannot be that much older than probably, you know, in his late teens or early 20s. So she's trying to basically, she was about to molest this young man. And she's like,
I don't care what you say. You're going to lie with me. So she's going to grab him now. Now she's going to grab him. Let's keep going. And it goes that she called him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, see, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. Lying? Just a lying. And I'm going to call it like it is. She was a lying hussy. Yes, she was. Just ratchet. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, the Hebrew servant who you brought to us came in to me to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. Look at there. Grace and favor. Grace and favor. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Come on now. Joseph was a hard worker. Did what he was supposed to do. Loved the Lord, and he was called to do. He still had an anointing on his life. Even enslaved, he had an anointing. And it comes to keep it. Let's keep going. Chapter 40 of Genesis. And it says, and it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their Lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream. Both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with his own interpretation. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers, who were with him in the custody of his lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? And they said to him, we each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretation belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, behold, in my dream a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though its budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and I also have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream. Excuse me, y'all. There were three white baskets on my head. In the utmost basket was all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Understand, he did a great deed for both of these men. Of course, lost his head, but the other one forgot the young man that gave him an interpretation of his dream. But understand that what you think somebody has forgotten, God will always bring it back to their remembrance. All we got to do is keep reading. In Genesis 39 and 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. This is a life lesson from our word from Dr. Stanley. Joseph is a prime illustration of the truth that adversity is a setback from which we take our greatest leaps forward. From adversity, God gave him grace and gave him favor. And he does the same for us. From adversity, God will give you grace and he will give you favor. Genesis 39:9, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph understood that any sin we commit is really an offense against God. Our sins may harm and defraud others, but God is always the one most aggrieved. That's right. Genesis 39:21, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Even when Joseph was thrown into prison for doing nothing wrong, ratchet woman chasing after him like he's a fox and she's on a fox hunt. Come on now. God was with him and blessed him even in the dark place. So the young man learned not to think of himself as a victim, child of God. Can y'all give a hallelujah on that word? I got to say that again. So the young man learned not to think of himself as a victim, but as a child of God. And we got to quit always whining and complaining when things are not going well. My finances are not well, so I'm going to whine and complain. My life is not well, so I'm going to whine and complain. My children are acting up, so I'm going to whine and complain. My car was totaled in an accident, so I'm going to whine and complain. No, I'm thanking God today. We all got to thank God today. We don't know what anybody's going to or going through, but we know that whatever God brings you to, he's going to bring you through. And Joseph, through all his adversity, continued to praise God. What did he say to Pharaoh's wife? So it was that she spoke to Joseph, but what did he say? How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He didn't whine and complain. My brother sold me into slavery, and I hate them, and I hate being a slave, and I hate, and I hate, and I hate. Lord, why did you leave me? Why did you let this happen to me? He didn't do that. He said, oh, I'm going to work hard, even in my adversity. And we got to all work hard, even in our adversity. Whatever you're going through today, family, understand through your adversity, God will bless you. When you give everything to God and you do whatever you do for his glory, he will bless you. And as we continue in the word, it says the value of hard work. And this is what the Bible says. And this is a word from Dr. Stanley from this Genesis 39 and 2 word. It says, while God requires that we work at the same time, he leads others to fairly pay us for our work. We find a marvelous example of good compensation for hard work in the life of Joseph. the 11th son of Jacob, Joseph's spiteful brother, sold him into slavery to some passing merchants, and eventually the young man wound up the property of a powerful Egyptian official. Yet despite Joseph's slavery, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And his master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Genesis 39:2-6. Joseph owned none of the large Egyptian estate. He managed, yet he had the full run of it. So he lived well, ate well, and dressed well. He had all of his material needs met. Why? Because the Lord caused his master to deal with him favorably. If you are giving your best effort at work and are trusting God to give you wisdom in all of your endeavors, then watch for the ways in which the Lord will cause others to bless you. Second, the Egyptian received blessing in return. He had no worries or concerns while Joseph managed his household. Joseph had proven himself worthy of his trust. God calls you to give maximum effort in your work and to do all you can to earn the trust of those who work with you or who supervise you. How can you motivate yourself to reach this high standard? The best way is to consistently acknowledge God's presence in every area of your work. The knowledge that God is with me as I work energizes me every day. And I can say, that's what God did for me. My testimony, family. I had my car accident, as all of you know, on Monday. Totaled my car. At least I'm saying it's probably total because every airbag came open. And I was saved and I was blessed and I was highly favored. And I'm here to talk to you today because of it. And I believe that his favor is upon me because he saved my life for a reason. But on Tuesday, I went into the office because I had a meeting scheduled for the office. And I was presented as a caregiver of the year for my company that I work for. I was caregiver of the month for November, and I became the caregiver of the year for my company. God gave me favor from day one. When I went to work for the company, when I walked through the doors, there was a sign on the wall that was one of the edits of the company, which is to honor God in all that we do. And I took that to heart, to honor God in everything that I did. And everything that I do in every home that I go into, I take God with me. And it was appreciated. As you all know, I grieved last year for two of my clients that passed on, as well as my father-in-law. I lost one client in October, plus my father-in-law on October 31st. Then I lost another client in November. All within 3 weeks of each other. And my client that died in November died holding my hand as I prayed over him and sang a hymn to him. Their families wrote beautiful letters for me to my company, Benia Five Star, because of the work that God called me to do. So I am grateful that God blessed me to be caregiver of the year for my company, and now I'm up for caregiver of my region. It's God's will and God's favor. Whatever God decides is fine with me. I'm just grateful I have been in my company caregiver of the month, caregiver of the quarter, and now caregiver of the year. I've worked in the office, but my joy comes from working in the field and working with the clients that I have, because they are all wonderful, and I am so blessed to be a caregiver. I was an essential worker. I did not get off during COVID rain in 2020 or 2021 or now. I go to work every day because I work for God. I do this show and then I go to work. And I take the joy of the Lord with me wherever I go. And that's what we have to be like a Joseph, even in our slavery for some. And I'm not saying that you're slaves. I'm saying that wherever you go, don't look at yourself as, I hate my job. But look at every day that you have a job, because there's somebody that's homeless. There's somebody that's hungry. There's somebody that doesn't have anybody to love them. They have no family. They have nobody but you. Take God wherever you go and watch the favor of the Lord be upon you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So I give a shout out to Prophetess Terry Lynn Banks, who pulled the God card on me 7 years ago and said, God told me to tell you to come and work for this company. And all I can say is I'm grateful that I work for a great company. So shout out to homeless. And I'm not trying to tout anything, but I just say this. If you have someone in your family that's a senior that needs assistance, that is the best company to call, because they're going to honor God in everything they do. So thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Hogan, for creating this company where we can honor God, where we can treat our clients like family and love each other. So that's my testimony given to God in everything that I do, what I do here, and what I do for God. Hallelujah. Take God wherever you go. Let your light shine, family. When you go to the grocery store, let your light shine. When you go to the car wash, let your light shine. When you get on the bus, let your light shine. When you get on the L, on the train, let your light shine. Let your light shine wherever you go, and watch God give you Joseph favor. When you think that you're at your lowest, God will bless you with your highest. Keep God first. Been moving in our word today. Psalm 10, verses 1 through 11. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why did you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. We see it every day in this country. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. Come on now. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. Come on now. The wicked in his pride countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. Ooh, you better preach. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the boar. He catches the boar when he draws him into his net. So he crouches his lies low. He crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. The devil is a lie. God sees everything. God knows everything. God knows your heart, your mind, and your spirit. And God knows his children. And even in the adversity of poorness, even in the adversity of life, God will come and give you grace and favor. All you have to do is keep trusting in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he always taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Come on now. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will persevere. She will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is what we're talking about. Let's go back and read that one more time. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. This is David to Solomon. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. God for discernment. Ask God for wisdom, and watch him work in your life. Get wisdom. And as we continue in this word this morning, and all I can say, it is a great word today. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 through 58, another parable. This is Jesus speaking. He put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but which is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Another parable, he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like a leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables. And without a parable, he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. Y'all got that right. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. When you read it, you figure out when you get to this, you understand Revelation. Come on now. We're going to read this one more time. And it says this, he answered and said to them, who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, Jesus. The field is the world. Good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. Come on now, the weeds now. The tares are weeds. The harvest is the end of the age. Y'all got that? And the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's in Revelation, y'all. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and brought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he said to them, therefore every scribe concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out his treasured things, new and old. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not the carpenter's son? You know, folks always want to bring up your past. And then it goes on to say, is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They missed out on their blessings because they wanted to talk about, well, that's the carpenter's kid. Wait a minute, isn't that Mary's boy? Girl, you know his brothers. You know them. You know James, girl. You know he's fine. You know James. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Girl, that's Simon's brother. What? That's Judas' brother. Girl, you know we call him Jude. But yeah, that's his brother. Girl, please. They don't know. I don't know where he got all that. Because you know where you may, he must have went to school or something. So he think he a Pharisee now. Hmm. Folks will talk about you. Call you all kind of things. Bring up your past. Who you used to be. What you used to do. All those things. Oh, that's a carpenter's kid. Well, you know, he was that weird one. Yeah, I was talking about he was the son of God. You know that. Well, I guess he think he is. Oh, well, you know, now he's a rabbi. I don't know how he became a rabbi. Girl, he made my daddy's table. Oh, girl, yeah, he made that little manger, you know, that little rocking manger for my cousin's baby. You know, folks want to bring up all kind of stuff when you're doing what you're supposed to do for God. Jesus shook it off. What did he say? And that's what we got to do. When you go home and you preach, or you go and live in a town that you grew up in, don't worry about what anybody says. Don't worry about what your siblings say. Don't worry about what anybody say. You do what God tells you to do. Because you are highly favored by God and he wouldn't have called you. Jesus was the son of God, born through woman, so he could see all the things that humanity does. He could experience all the things that humanity does. But he still loves us, coming back for us. But understand, what do you want to be in your life? Do you want to be wheat or do you want to be tares? Because you know, as you've read this word, when the angels come, they're going to separate the wheat from the tares. And the tares is going into the fire. Is it worth all the riches of this world to be there? Because eternity means you'll be in the pit, gnashing and gnawing on them teeth, because you're going to be burned up for eternity. Choose this day who you will serve. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We got to have that in our spirit. And as we get ready to wrap it up, a life lesson from Psalm 10, verse 1. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us in this life lesson. It says, during hard times in the desert, the Israelites thought God had abandoned them. But Moses told them, in the wilderness, the Lord your God carried you. Deuteronomy 1:31, which we will get to, God willing. The word of God is true, and we got to stand on it and know that God's got you covered in your good, your bad, and your ugly. Matthew 13:38, the field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. Keep that in your arsenal. And if there's someone that has a King James version of this word, if you with the number 1 on your phone or call 213-943-3597, if you'd like to read that verse, please raise your hand or push the number 1. And if you want to read that word, it would be greatly appreciated. King James Version, folks, because it's a little bit different in King James, and I just want to go over. I'm not getting any hands up, so let me go to King James real quick. Hold on. That's why you got to have more than one Bible. Even if you have to get a Bible app to get a word, get that app, because it's always good to have different version so you see it in a different light, in a different way. And this is what Matthew and King James says. Matthew 38, it says, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sold them is a devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So pretty much most of New King James is King James. But there's some things that are just slightly different, whereas here it says, in King James, in New King James, says the field is the world, the good seed, and the sons of the kingdom. And in King James, it says the children of the kingdom. So just, you know, little things, but it could be just slightly, which can change some things a little bit. So always have your King James when you read in other versions. If you read NIV, have King James. If you read New King James, have King James, so that you can kind of compare. Because sometimes it's slightly different, and sometimes the context can be slightly different. So you got to really watch that. And it says this, we may not like it, but God allows the righteous and the wicked to live alongside one another. The situation will change one day, but for now we must remember that not all have faith. Woo! Dr. Stanley knows he's talking. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. Matthew 13:58. He did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Unbelief acts like a wet blanket on a smothering fire, discouraging anything from really getting started. Does not prevent God from acting as though we had the power to stop him, but it does dampen the possibility. And I needed that word too. We all need a word from God when we do stuff or when we delay doing stuff. God is like, okay, it's time to get up. It's time to go to work. We got to go to work. Can't procrastinate. on whatever it is. Get up. Get ready. Go to work. So thank you all, family, for listening in this morning. If there's anybody that's got a testimony or a word, push the number 1 or call 213-943-3597 and your line will be open. And I will go in and get a word from our sister in Christ. We have a caller. Your line is
yes.
Open, 6962.
Yes, this is Evangelist Teresa Green. I just want to praise and thank God for saving your life on Monday, Pastor Bridget. What a mighty God we serve. I thank God that he has elevated me into another level of prayer and praise, because he didn't have to do it, but he did. I am just so grateful to God that we are blessed to see this day, for he is the only one that woke us up, that opened our eyes, our ears, our mouth, our body, helped us get up. It was only God. We have to be thankful for each and every little thing that God is going to do for us this 20th day in January 2022. Give God the praise in all you do. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Acknowledge God in every step you make, and he's going to have a great blessing for you. He has your name on it.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I touch and agree with all that. Amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist. And we are going to continue touching in agreement in prayer, lifting up the name of Jesus wherever we go. Let not your heart be troubled. Hallelujah. For we believe in Jesus. We cannot let our hearts be troubled, because we believe in the mightiness of God. And as, again, our title for today's lesson gives us this. Even in adversity, God will give you grace and favor.
Ooh,
hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your grace.
Thank you, Jesus, for favor.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we're going to be weak. Hey, no tyranny. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Yeah, God.
Before we get out of here, however, we got a word from, as always, our sister in Christ from Carolyn's gift this morning. And it's this. Good morning. In life, you may have some tough breaks. Come on now. Sister Carolyn knows that she always all up in the message. And some bruising or scaring. Just keep in mind that you actually survived things that others didn't.
Say glory. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, for your faith, Lord God. For all of your children, Lord, continue to give us you. Just you, Lord. Thank you for your son. Thank you for his blood that covers each and every one of us. Thank you for the light, Lord God. That is the Holy Spirit that ignites us to go to work for you, Father. And Father, as we get ready to depart, I say, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I ask, Lord God, that you bless each and every listener, those that listen live and those that listen later. I ask you, Lord God, to give them the desire of their heart that is
of your will, Lord God. Let your will be done in our life. For you, Father God, and you are the finisher of faith and of our hope in the kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Yeah, God.
Precious God, thank you. Thank you, family,
thank
for listening
you,
in. As I tell you every day, it's time for me to go.
Thank you, precious Holy Ghost.
Some of y'all will be hearing again from Evangelist Green in the future. She has also agreed to be a reader down the road, so we're going to keep her loaded. That God will continue to bless her and bless her. This Sunday. So congratulations, Evangelist, for accepting your calling to evangelize.
Oh, hallelujah. He's been so good to me.
God is good.
I cannot do his work.
God, won't he do it? Yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
And it is a wrap.
Yes, we have to walk in the Shekinah glory today.
You bless Israel.
Yeah, Lord.